says in the book of Thessalonians, Paul and Silas and Timothy were headed for Thessalonica to help the Christians that's only a few weeks old. They wanted to fellowship with them, teach them, win more souls. And the Bible says, Satan hindered. The Spirit of God told him not to go to Bithynia. The Spirit of God told him not to go into Asia. The Spirit of God stopped him at Troas. But this time, he didn't say the Spirit stopped us. He said Satan hindered. Satan hindered. Now, I went and studied some of those Greek scholars on hinder. And they said hinder means to tear up the road. You're going down the road. Somebody tears it up. And that's a hindrance. That hinders. There's a road back home. When I was a boy, I rode my bicycle down it and rode my horse down it and shot a deer down that road later. And that road meant a lot to me. I used to go down it, but the strip mine came, took the coal out from under it, and they tore up the road. The devil tore up the road for Job. The devil tore up the road for David when Absalom turned against him and David had to flee. Every time a Pharisee or a Sadducee confronted Jesus, they were tearing up the road. Yeah. And he tore up the road for Paul. He hindered him. But we got one mightier than that. He can put the road back. He can put the road back together. He can put it back and smooth it out. I believe that. I believe it. Ephesians chapter 4. I may have preached this here before, but I can't remember. So if I didn't remember whether I preached it or not, you probably don't remember whether I preached it. But I didn't come prepared. I slipped in. So I have to just grab something I've used before. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. Listen, the Bible says if any man be in Christ, saved, out of the world, in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is new. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. He's new. Jesus Christ came to give us new life. New. Everything about Christ is new. Every day something's new. Every time we go to the Lord in prayer, something's new. Every experience that comes down the road, it's a new experience. Christ is life. And in Christ there is new life. It's exciting. Get up in the morning and see what new thing he's going to do. Amen. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 23 down to the end, there's seven things that are new to a Christian. Now, if you're a Christian, there's seven things listed there that's new in your life. New. Now let's look at them. Number 1, verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You got a new mind. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, you were born of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God took a hold of your mind and began to teach it new things. A new mind. In Christ. I went to church 19 years before I was saved and I didn't know a verse of scripture after 19 years. I didn't know that the blood of Christ had any value. I didn't know how to be saved after 19 years of going to church every Sunday. And then I walked in an old theater building up in Columbus, Ohio, and went forward at 5 minutes after 9 on March the 14th, 1954 and I accepted Christ as my Savior and my mind became new. I began to think new things about Christ. I began to think new things about the church. I began to think new things about the Bible. I began to think new things about fellow Christians. Everything in the scope of salvation was new. If any man be in Christ, he's new. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. So he gives us a new mind. A new mind, and he wants us to keep feeding that mind with the Word of God and get the newness of the truth of God's Word. It's new. The mind is new. The second thing that's new is, and that you put on the new man. New man, Jesus. New man. You know, I went over there to Scotland and to preach, and I met a man named Ian Paisley. And I won't discuss his politics with you because I don't understand it. But Paisley kind of took me under his wing and he kind of liked me. And he brought me across that Atlantic Ocean 35 times to preach at his church. In January, we'd have revivals and he had an Easter convention and he had me come and speak at it many years. And I met Paisley. He's an unusual man. He was reading books about Christ when he was 6 years old, reading Christian books. I wasn't reading anything when I was six. I wasn't reading very much when I was 16. But he was reading books and he read the Bible through four times every year. And he read every, you couldn't mention a book that he hadn't read. And I spent time with him and he used to tell me about prayer and have those great prayer meetings in Northern Ireland. And I'm saying all that to say this. I met a man that had influence on me. I met him. I met a man once when I came down here to hear Brother Thomason preach. And I never saw him before. I saw him smiling and I found out that he was Cal Ray Evans. And I met him after that. And we've preached back and forth. And we've been friends. And he's been a blessing to me. And he's had an influence on my life, and I mean that. He's had an influence on my life. But it says we got a new man, and there's nobody that you'll ever meet that'll influence you like Jesus. He'll make you different. He'll make you think different. He'll change your value system. He'll show you truth. He'll comfort your heart. He'll let you know that he loves you. There's nobody like Jesus. Nobody like Jesus. We had a girl come down there to school from Sandusky, an American girl, sat over on the side, heard every preacher preach, the rest of the students did, attended the prayer conference, went to the prayer meetings, 4 years and graduated. She wasn't very pretty. She went to Chicago and she met an Arab. A good-looking Arab. He's a Muslim. She didn't think she'd ever get anybody in life. So she hooked in with him and got married. And now she wears a covered up all over except her eyes. Got a little girl. She's all covered up with a gown except her eyes. And someone said she backslid. And married a Muslim and rejected Jesus. No, I don't think she is ever saved because anybody that ever knew the Lord Jesus Christ wouldn't trade him for Mohammed. You don't trade Jesus for a man that says it's all right for you to have incest with your mother. He taught that. You don't trade Jesus for someone like that. You don't trade Jesus for someone that says, go out and kill people. Yeah. There's a new man, Jesus. We get a new man when we accept the Lord. And he influences us. Oh, I'm glad I met Jesus. I'm glad I met him when I was 19 years old. I'm glad I've gone through this life 61 years now of preaching. I thank God I ever met Jesus and had Him to preach to others. Oh, praise the Lord. You got a new mind. You with me? You got a new mind now and you got a new man. Then you go over verse 25. Therefore, putting aside lying, speaking evil truth with thy neighbor, for we are members. Mind, man, members. New mind, new man, new member. We're members one of another. I'm your brother tonight in Christ. Yeah, I'm not a member of Rudyville Church, and you're not a member of Marietta Church, but you and I are members. We are members one of another. We belong to Jesus. We're in Jesus' church, and we're brothers and sisters. And a whole bunch of people up there in Marietta, they know about you people. I tell them about you. You haven't met them, but we're all members. Members one of another. Now, when I got saved, I don't think I enjoyed. I was a member of anything. Maybe the Boy Scouts. And maybe one political party. I won't tell which one, but it wasn't liberal. And I wasn't a member of much of anything. But you know, when I got saved, I became a member of all you people. All my brothers and sisters in Christ. I became a member with Him. And I became a member with Him. We are members one of another. That's new. We didn't have anybody. We weren't hooked up with anybody before we saved. We weren't in the body of Christ. Now that we have Jesus, new mind, new man, new member. We'll go on down. And verse 20. Be angry and sin not. Not let the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Thank God. When we got saved, we got a new master. Up until then, the devil was our master. I was under the power of Satan for 19 years. Everybody in Portsmouth tonight that's not saved is under the power of the devil. Because it says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, that's the devil, hath blinded their mind. Now, if you blind a person, you got power over them. And when people are blinded to the gospel and blind to spiritual things, they are under the blinding power of the devil. And they're under him tonight. He's their master. He's their master. Oh, I got a young couple lived next door, moved in there. I called them Mr. and Mrs. for a number of years and then found out they were going to get married. After years of living there, I called them Mr. and Mrs. And they announced, we're going to get married. Woo! There they are. They're talented. They got money. They got new cars. They got a house. Everything in it's new. They just spend money for everything. They got everything their heart could wish for. But they don't have the Master Jesus Christ. They're under the master of materialism and the devil. And they just live a life of emptiness. Emptiness. Empty without Jesus. Now I try to lead them. I can't talk to them. That woman will run from me. And that man will turn away and walk away. So I got the boys up there. Boys like that. We raked up all their leaves. Raked them up, put them in plastic bags and carried them away. Well, the other night the electric went off and I took them over a lamp that the Amish have that you can turn on and make light. And I took it over to him. He took it at the door. Next night, electric was back on. He came over, said, I want to give your light back to you. I said, no, I want to give it to you because electric will go off again. And I want you to have that. And that deed brought him in. He sat down in the living room. I witnessed to him for an hour. I witnessed for an hour to him because I gave him something. I did something for him. And he sat down and listened. Wanted to know what these boys were doing over here. And I got a chance to tell him what they were doing, spreading the gospel and everything. He's not saved yet, but I believe God's dealing with him. Amen. He needs a new master. Okay. Now a new method. Verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more. Those Ephesians were thieves. Yeah, it wasn't anything to them, just steal something. And he said, let him that stole steal no more. Stop stealing, Paul said to him. But rather let him labor. Don't steal, work. Work with your hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Did you ever get up on Monday morning and it's cloudy and you got to go back to work after a weekend? And you're driving and it's raining and it's cloudy and you're tired and you're going back to work and you don't like your job and you think, God, why do I have to go to work? Why do I have to go down this road? Why do I have to go back to where I work? Everything. This verse tells you why. It tells you that you may have to give to him that needeth. You work, you take care of your family, and then you have money to help people in need. You come to the church and you give it. It helps missionaries. It helps this church to win souls in this area. It helps with the ministry here. That's why you're going to work in the morning. Don't feel bad. Say, thank God I got a job. I'm going down here. I'm going to get a paycheck on Friday. And I can help people. Yeah, that's a new method. Paul said, you bunch of thieves, stop stealing. Go to work and help people. Amen. Go to work and help. Amen. All right, that's a new method. That's a new method on life. You know, I was unsaved. I had a job. I hated it. I hated to go to work. I really did. Every morning, I just hated that job. You know, after I got saved, my attitude changed. And I accepted it. And then God took me away from it and put me in the ministry. And I have to say, there's a few times I didn't want to go to the church. I didn't want to preach to them. Something doing, you know, in 61 years, you've had all kind of experiences. Somebody did something to you. You just don't want to go. You don't want to preach. And then I got to thinking, you know, God gave me this calling and he supplies for me that I can help others. That boy down there, that boy, I can help them. That's why I go. And go smiling. Amen. That is a new method. Now, verse 29. Are you getting these M's? A new mind. A new man. A new membership. A new master. A new method. A new ministry. Let no corrupt communication produce seed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace. Minister grace to the hearer. You say, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a missionary. I'm just a housewife. I'm just a mother. No, you're a minister. Yeah, you're a minister. That doesn't mean you get to preach next Sunday, but you're a minister. Every lady here and every man. Now listen, every Christian in this church tonight is a minister to minister grace to somebody. Minister grace. There's somebody in the hospital. Walk in and pray with them and minister grace to them. There's somebody in an old folks home. Read the Bible to them and minister grace. You got a neighbor that's old and life's not interest. Go over and read the Word of God to him. Minister grace. Minister grace. Find a young couple that's in trouble. Minister grace to them. Minister the grace of God. We got a new ministry. New mind, new man, new master, new method, new method, new membership. Now we got a new manner. We minister grace. We got a new ministry. Minister to people. Poor people. Lonely people. Sad people. Minister to them. Find them. At the hospital. A woman. She's had cancer for years. Now she's getting down to the end. Rather discouraged. Went over and held her hand. Prayed with her. Oh, prayed. She said, "Preacher, don't leave." I said, "I gotta go to Mineral Wells and preach." "Oh, pull up a chair. Pull up a chair beside of my bed. I want you to talk to me." And I pulled up a chair and tried to minister grace to her. Now listen. Don't let the sun go down Monday night, tomorrow, until you've ministered to somebody. Minister to them. Minister grace. And then there's a new manner. This is last. A new manner. And be kind. One to another, verse 32. Be tender hearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's a new manner for the Christians. Now Paul heard that there was a problem going on in Corinth. There's a man in there. He's having an affair with his stepmother. "You haven't dealt with it. I will when I come." And he came and dealt with it. And the man went away. He got right with God. He asked God to forgive him. He came back to the church. But nobody made him welcome. And Paul said, "Welcome him. Comfort him. He's sitting over there by himself. He's waiting on some Christian to encourage him. Some Christian to love him. And if you don't do it, he's going to be swallowed up in grief. He's going to be ruined if you don't forgive him. He's going to be swallowed up like these animals on the animal channel. A lion chases that young deer down there, just chases it, and then gets it and swallows it up. I don't like to see that. I'm always pulling for the deer to get away so I could shoot it." But he get that, he swallow it up. And like you see that lion suck its teeth into that young deer. Paul says, if you don't get to that fella and you don't show him love, Satan's going to swallow him up in grief. Now there's some new things. New things. A new mind, a new man, a new membership, a new master, a new method, a new ministry, and a new manner.